This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whistles a pass right side, Arvidsson to the net. Rich shot, score! Mattias Janmark extends Edmonton's lead to 2-0 in game 5. The Oilers have 2 goals on 2 shots.
I don't know if you can fist pump. Maybe just for Friday purposes. RJ Choppy, Bobby was... I'm not seeing it from Peyton and Aiden. I can't call them out. You don't have to, Pepe. Go ahead. Start us off. You look depressed. You look sports depressed with the Dallas Stars getting taken out in 5-6-3 last night.
I was fooled after game one. I was fooled. They let me down. I thought, okay, this was the year. This was the year. You finally won a game one against the Oilers here in the Western Conference Finals. You know, everything's going your way, and then you lose 4 straight.
I had to ask that question after game one. Some people called me out being a Debbie Downer. I was like, oh. This is like Celtics-Knicks, right? Except it worked out for New York. Team's up 20, and they lose that lead. Well, who was really the better team? Choppy all the time saying, I don't need the final score. I know the deal. And that was the sobering reality that hit us for the final time last night as Jake Oettinger, after that goal you just heard on Oilers radio, was pulled 7 minutes in, 2-for-2, shots equaling goals, and that was the shortest stint of his career. And that is what the Metroplex is talking about. Did you understand Pete DeBoer? Are you furious at Pete DeBoer? What is ahead for this team in the offseason with a bunch of names that they have to make decisions on that Jake Riedma told us about at 7 o'clock? And then I had some leftovers. By the way, Jamie Benn, he's one of those guys. He talked about how much it all stung last night.
It's got to be, you know, at the top. I feel like we had a solid group from top to bottom, and that's why, you know, this stinks pretty bad. It sucks. I mean, 3 years in a row now. You get that close and you come up short. Doesn't matter who you're playing. Obviously not a good feeling.
What about Mikko? Some leftovers. Rantanen finishes these playoffs with 1 goal over his final 10 playoff games, scoreless in 8 straight. When they were running through some of these like streaks last night during the broadcast, or you see it on social media, I'm like, man, it doesn't feel like they played all these games. It doesn't feel like Mikko went in this drought over 10 games when we were just throwing parades for him and comparing him to all-time DFW runs.
Right. I mean, look, that game seven against Colorado, that was, what, 11 games ago?
Yep. Wow.
So it doesn't feel like it because, you know, hockey, they don't waste any time. It's every other day. There are no days off, really. So it goes quick. And it feels like it was just yesterday that game seven happened, but it didn't.
Gintolo's weighing in with conflicting opinions on DeBoer, Oettinger, and all that happened from Brian. He had to be pulled. Team needed a spark, and it's not like he played well in the series. DeBoer isn't going anywhere. He's as good as it gets, and we are in a bad spot because of all the good head coaches that have already been hired by the teams that did not make the playoffs. And I said earlier in the show, why do hockey coaches have so much turnover? And I'm dying to get an answer, and I just wanted to go through the Stars' history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you the amount of years that the Dallas Stars head coaches have lasted around here. Two things, right? It feels like a ton of turnover in the NHL, and it feels like those same exact names get recycled. So going back to the history of the Dallas Stars and their coaches, and again, this is not just exclusive to them, after Dave Tippett, Mark Crawford lasted 3 years.
God, I forgot about him.
Then the next coach lasted 3 years.
Tip was good too, man.
Then Lindy Ruff. I mean, he was here for a Mike McCarthy period. He had 5 years. Then Ken Hitchcock, 2. Jim Montgomery, 2. Rick Bowness, 4. And Pete DeBoer started in 2022. So one guy of the last six head coaches lasted more than 4 years.
Rick Bonus lasted 4 years?
2019 to 2022. Didn't feel like that long.
It did not feel like that long.
I didn't, yeah, when you just ran through all the number of coaches were there and like now make me realize how long it's been since Dave Tippett has been here, that's bizarre. Because I was just sitting here thinking like, yeah, Tippett was like two coaches ago, right? Like, I didn't realize it had been that long. Man, but
I hadn't heard Tippett's name in a while, like Philippe Boucher.
Tyler, Fantex, I thought Otter getting pulled was ridiculous. It's not a throwaway game in the middle of the season that you can use something like that as fuel to get the guys going. In the playoffs, you go with the guys that got you there, and there's arguably not a better goalie in the league than Otter, not to mention the goals were a breakaway and a power play. One more thing from Tyler. I don't think Pete should be on the hot seat. He's brought Dallas at the conference final in all three of his seasons with the team. I know he's lost all three, but I don't think there's any conversation of him being on a hot seat if he doesn't pull Otter. The Stars were flat, though, the whole series. They simply got outperformed. We talked about the big dogs versus the depth. Well, their big dogs significantly outperform our big dogs.
Yeah, look, the elimination game aspect of it, it heightens the threshold or shrinks the threshold of when you pull them. They don't pull Otter in a regular season game. In an elimination game, I mean, it happens. You can't sit around and wait for him to wait to figure out whether he has it or not. You know, it's got to be very black and white. A lot of times it's very black and white. Like, he let him in. We're down 2-0. We're 5 minutes in. I mean, when you have a home game and an elimination game.
But don't you have to. You have to break down to the nth degree how much of it was actually his fault? Or my theory is it wasn't. It was 20%. 30% about Otter,
yeah,
and it was 70% about the rest of the team. Absolutely. Otter was just the scapegoat.
Yes, that's all it is. That's all it is. And, you know, you could have brought him back. You know, they had tied it up. You know, they were talking. Was it Levy on the, yep. He's like, you know, if they didn't allow that McDavid goal in and it was 3-2, you know, he was like, do you even think about bringing Otter back in to start the third period? But, like, you know, like, let's just. You're down 2-0. It's 5 minutes in. Hockey teams will tell you, when you're on the road team in an elimination game, you're just trying to survive the first 5 minutes. The crowd's into it. The players are amped up. You're going to be more on your heels. You're surviving. Not only did they survive, they took the crowd out of the game. They put the Stars back on their heels. And it was 2-0. And it was like, all right, this game's already over. We haven't even gotten started yet. These guys haven't even broken a sweat. Their cheeks aren't even red yet from the cold on the ice and their blood pressure. So what are you going to do? Are you going to wait around all day or are you going to make a move? And I'm not going to kill him for that.
I get the criticism, though, from people who are saying when it's like, are you going to wait around and see if it gets better? Like, the argument from a lot of people is like, it wasn't like you didn't definitively know it was bad.
Yeah.
It was a power play goal with a little bit of a misfortune. And then you had a breakaway. Like, you could have had the other guy, like, you're having the same issue regardless, probably, no matter who's in net.
We should only be having a discussion over one goal, not the who's the freaking old man?
Guy Carbonneau.
Who scored the first goal?
Oh, Perry.
No, we should only be having a discussion over the second goal.
Yeah,
the Perry goal.
Unless he was out of position, which I don't think he was.
Okay,
but if he was out of position, I could see that.
And the second one, the thing that stood out to me was a 94-foot freaking pass setting up Janmark. You know what I mean? And Sean McDonough was getting ready to fight Ray Ferraro. McDonough up there, friend of the show, saying, how do you blame Jake for that? That pass getting through, I don't know. I want to believe it was to spark everyone else. But then DeBoer made the comments afterwards, digging in to Ottinger a little bit, saying, well, he has lost all these games against the Oilers.
Yeah, so I look at it like this. I go, and not just where he says, you lost all these games against the Oilers. He goes, I don't want to say it's all Jake's fault, but it's like, well, that's an awful way to word it regardless. Mm-hmm. But the other aspect of this is when I see something like this happen, especially in a sport that maybe I don't have as great a handle on as others, I just want to go see, all right, what's reaction from people who are looking at it and taking it? It's so overwhelmingly people thinking Pete DeBoer was in the wrong. Like for the way he handled it and also in terms of pulling Otter. There were a lot of people yesterday who were talking about you can't do it. Now, it seems like Stars fans on the fan text and everything else, their majority seemingly siding with take Otter out. But it's, I kind of wonder if that's, you're really close to it and it's an emotional thing and you're like, he's not getting it done, get him out. It's like the way you said your dad used to talk about Yankees games, where like when he would give this, like, everybody was an idiot. He wanted everybody fired by the fifth inning. It's, they're in it and they're emotional. The people outside of it go like, you can't pull Otter.
Let me ask this question, and Choppy, you can probably answer this best.
I doubt it.
Does Jake Ottinger, well, you don't have any of their options. We have to do that. Does Jake Ottinger have the cachet and the status and the equity built up to have a battle with Pete or to be way up in his feelings and never get over it with Pete if this thing lingers? You know, because I've said this about other players who aren't as good in different sports. I don't give a, who gives a damn what you think? You're nobody. You know what I mean? You don't get a say. You don't get a vote. Obviously, Jake Ottinger is not a nobody. But where is he in terms of the cachet built up to where, oh my God, you can't disrespect a guy like that and not come back from it?
He's a, for all things included, he's a top five goalie in the league. It's him. It's obviously Hellebuck and Shesterkin, Vasilevskiy. There's a handful of guys that are in his realm. Would you take Bobrovsky over him in the playoffs? I mean, look, he wound up going to three cups in a row. But no one's taken Skinner over him, and he's been back to back.
And he's got a 8-year deal or long term deal.
Yeah. Now, like, I don't know how it works.
Was it eight? Did Rima say eight?
It was eight.
I know Mikko's is eight.
I don't know how it works in the NHL. Like, if you trade a player, does that money come on your cap? Like, could they trade him and not have cap ramifications? I don't know how that works in the NHL. But yeah, he's yours. He's yours, and he's worth the contract. Does he have playoff games? Yeah, of course. I mean, he gave up 12 goals in the first three games of the series. He had barely over a 90% goals against for the entire postseason.
Like, the goal stat that he was expected to save was ugly, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Goals above or below expectation, to make it a hockey term.
This postseason, it was a 905 goals against. And if you go back in the regular season, just go to the regular season. Now, he had an 890 goals against, save percentage, I should say, in April, like in the last five or six games. Prior to that, 914. 901, 916, 906, 894, 938. So a little bit off his pace. His pace for the regular season was 909. So a little bit off, but that's to be expected. You're playing better teams. You know, you're not playing Buffalo.
TJ with the message, hockey is different than other sports in that the game is played very differently in the playoffs when you're in the lead as opposed to when you are behind. Otter kept forcing the team to play from behind, chasing the game, as it's called. He wasn't giving the team a chance to gain a lead to start, and frankly, I don't blame DeBoer for being pissed about it. Defensive breakdowns and penalties happened. They needed a save. They needed time to try and get a lead. But they also, TJ, needed an offense to get a lead, too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not putting Jake Ottinger near the top of blame for what happened in this series. This begins with offense.
Yeah, I mean, even when they were, like we're talking about, even when they were losing in game one and he had given up three goals, there was a lot of it where it's like, it's so, and this is one of the things that
this team couldn't get off more than five shots in a third period to close out this series. They couldn't even apply pressure last night with the goaltender pulled.
Yeah, and that's, and I mean, think about how that was an issue too with their first power play in game two or three. I can't remember which one it was, but they had their first power play where, like, they couldn't get anything. They couldn't get in the zone. They couldn't do anything. It felt like so many times, like, Otter was just kind of out on an island anyway, like where he was just kind of let down, and it were just these really clean, high-quality shots. When you look at last night, Edmonton, if you look at moneypuck.com, Sean, which we'll have to reference throughout the Stanley Cup.
Thank God this is over.
The high-percentage shots, like on that shot chart where they say the probability of it going in, all series long, they're just getting these really clean, high-percentage looks where it's like they are dominating you in terms of like their shot selection.
And early too. I mean, I think four of the five games they scored the first 10 minutes.
It was close to that
11 minutes. I mean, that's a lot, man. Like that's just think of it this way. Imagine a playoff series in baseball where every single night you're down 2-0 by the third.
Yep.
You lose your edge as an offense. Like, it's just hard to play from behind.
All right, we'll talk more about it with a KNC masterpiece at 9:40. But because of the Stars in the Western Conference Finals, we move worst take of the week to 9:20. Bobby, who are some of the candidates?
Oh, we got Gilbert Arenas, Tom Segura, the comedian, and RJ Choppy has an issue with the New York bias in the NBA.
Need your votes for worst take after this.
Ever met someone who is so extremely dumb that they don't know how stupid they actually are?
There's been a whole lot of stupid said this week.
You are made of stupid.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Our apologies, but we had to move worst take to this time because of the end of the Dallas Stars season that took precedent at 9 o'clock here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. We have a little baby ticket giveaway coming up in a matter of minutes to send you into the weekend with a very happy move. But Roberto, give us the candidates for worst take of the week.
That's right. We've got a few different candidates that we're putting out there today covering. We've got Rob Manfred. There's going to be some Gilbert Arenas in here. We're going to start off with something that I know Choppy has been upset with this week. And it's some revisionist history, he feels like, from NBA analysts.
All right. I saw this on one of the TV shows. I can't remember which one. It was a question that was posed. Where does the Knicks-Pacers rank among the top rivalries in sports in the NBA? And I was like, how New York-centric could you possibly get?
Like right now?
Yeah, like right now, historically, whatever. My answer is, it doesn't. Like, and if you're going all sport, it's not even top 50. It's not even the Knicks' top rival. Boston, Philly. Shoot, if you're going historic, the Bulls are probably bigger. And, like, wow, they had a cool moment with Spike and Reggie. So one of the most overrated players in the history of the NBA did a choke sign to one of the most overrated directors in movie history. Awesome. Like, if it was Wizards Cavs, no one would have said anything about it. I wrote down a list of the following rivalries in the NBA that are bigger than Knicks Pacers.
All right.
Mavs Spurs. Lakers Celtics.
Wait. So is this all time?
Yeah, all time.
Historic, yeah.
Historic.
This is the way they phrased it.
Yeah. Mavs Spurs, Lakers Celtics, Lakers Warriors, Lakers Phoenix, Bulls Knicks, Bulls Pistons, Lakers Pistons, Celtics Pistons, Knicks Sixers, Celtics Sixers, Miami Dallas, Lakers Mavs, Thunder Mavs, LeBron Riley, LeBron Miami, LeBron Golden State, LeBron Draymond European basketball players, Nico and fat people, Nico and European lifestyle, Patrick Dumont and basketball intelligence, NBA and a fair lottery protocol, Dick Pavetta and the ending of series in six games, Mavs, Bennett Salvatore, MJ and pants that fit, MJ and walking away from a blackjack table, Luca vegetables, Luca a water only diet, LeBron the second page of a book, Greg Popovich, Donald Trump, NBA TV ratings, Caitlin Clark, and Matt Ishbia, and a coach in the second year of a contract. I get you 50 things here
that
are bigger than Knicks Pacers.
Did you didn't miss any there? You got all of them? You covered them all there?
Although I will challenge back and say, give me the basketball rivalries today that are bigger. Give me the rivalries in the NBA today.
So, I mean, I think now you might have...
Because Warriors-Grizz is over.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think this is, it's hard because we're currently in some. So, last year you would have said Celtics-Pacers was more intense, the way that they were going at each other. I think generally Dallas right now in L.A. is going to be something that people have focus on because that'll be the biggest rivalry in basketball will be Dallas-Luka moving forward for the next several years. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, you're looking at...
There's really nothing.
Is the Mavs-Suns over with? I mean, we're past that.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was so Luka-focused.
It was right. So Luka-focused.
Luka Booker. But really, if you're talking about today...
Yeah.
I mean, what? KD, Ant? You know, the Suns are about to be finished.
Right. I guess I look at Knicks Pacers and I just say, that's kind of on the level with everything else, which is it's just watered down.
All right, why is Gilbert Arenas up for nomination?
Okay, so Gilbert Arenas, this is partial worst take. It's also partially receipts because we're having to go back to something he said, and it was proven to be a worse take, but it was pretty bad at the time. So back in mid-April, Gilbert Arenas said something on his podcast that has been getting him dragged this week on social media after he was asked about the Thunder's chances to make the NBA Finals on his podcast.
What percent chance do you give the Thunder to reach the NBA Finals? We don't know who the 1-8 is, but looking beyond that.
To reach the fight, I give them zero.
I think I'm about to say, yeah.
Zero?
To reach the final? You said finals, right?
Yeah. The National Basketball Association.
I was going to say 1%, but
zero. I don't know. I go 50-50.
Why do you think this Thunder squad is being treated like fool's gold by everybody?
They're babies.
They have playoff experience from last year.
Because they're the youngest team in the NBA.
So Gil says youngest team in the NBA, so they're not going to be able to get there.
Now, I want to say this before I destroy him, but Gilbert Arenas has made a pretty nice transformation from psycho wacky dude to kind of, it feels like he's grounded a little bit. Yeah, he's more respectable.
He's not bad. Like you hear him say some stuff. Because it felt early on like he was kind of trolly and kind of just like, I'm going to say some wacky. He felt
like Kwame Brown.
Yeah. And he's centered it a little bit because he even goes on for several minutes after that. He's like, look, they're really young. He's like, the good thing of that is they got a bright future, but they're going to have to pay this guy. And like, I mean, he went into basketball stuff, but 0% chance was that was too aggressive.
That's really dumb because people were already locking OKC into the winner of the Western Conference Finals. Everybody was. They're like, it's OKC in the West, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
And all those people ended up being right. So this, to me, is worst take so far. I have a nominee.
Oh, boy.
And I was really thinking of Kevin Hagelin and Bobby Belt while submitting this. Tom Segura is who, Roberto?
Oh, he is one of the greatest living stand-up comedians from Austin. He's in the Joe Rogan circle, but he's a stand-up comedian.
Tom Segura in the Your Mom's House pod a while back went on this rant against wrestling.
So many guys love wrestling. I think wrestling is for f***ing f***ards. But
it is.
But so many people.
So like many people
it is
it.
The f***ing stupidest s***. And I think you're a f***ing tool. If you're like,
yeah,
hey, man, it's not fake. It's fake, and you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
but
grow up.
They're not real fights. These are just stunt people.
But imagine,
and the fact that like guys are like, man, did you see the Undertaker?
That's who he loved. He liked Undertaker.
Jesus
and
Christ.
He made me go to a WWE event in LA. When
it's
I
pathetic.
Was,
it's pathetic.
I'll
you're
tell
a
you
pathetic
what, though.
Person.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
it was actually pretty fun.
What was
the event? Going to a live wrestling?
Yeah, so is the Special Olympics. It's a fun thing to go to,
jeez,
but
God.
It's not real. Oh, no. It's not a real competition.
So he went on that rant, and what did the WWE do on Raw? They bring Tom Segura out for a special appearance to promote Netflix and the partnership. And who's this guy who dodged us at the Super Bowl that everyone loves?
Oh, that's Bert Kreischer.
Bert Kreischer, yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing the celebrity thing now. And wrestling fans went off. They went crazy. I understand it. They're like, why are you being a bunch of sellouts, WWE? This guy trashed us. He called us the R word. He compared us to the Special Olympics. And now you're bringing him out here with all these. Save it. We're not that desperate. We don't need him. So I'm nominating either the WWE for selling out or Tom Segura for selling out after his take and going out there for worst take.
This is a bad look. WWE, like,
it's a bad look.
It's a bad look. It's not as bad as when Diesel and Razor Ramon left and they brought out fake Diesel and Razor Ramon. They're like, no, you're just going to accept that these are the real guys.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, but this is bad. Like, the wrestling fans are, like, they're fickle. They will get in their feels.
Yeah, I don't know, because WWE, they're all about the heels. They will, like so to me, it's like, all right, here's another villain.
It's like someone who should respect what we're doing a little bit.
I get it. Like, so over the weekend, I don't know, something happened in WWE.
And I don't know, that didn't feel like pure comedy, like when you're listening to it.
He's mocking them. Yeah, he's flat out mocking them, which is like what I did to Alec the other day, and he got all upset, because he was quote tweeting one of their fake finishes in one of their wrestling matches.
Is Alec a wrestling fan?
Oh, yeah. And Alec said, wow, and I replied back and I said, wow, you couldn't script an ending like that. And then when I came in here on Monday, he was like, look, let me explain it. And he was trying to explain why it was so crazy. I was like,
come up with a wrestling name for it. He looks like a wrestler. I could see him with elbow pads and
tights.
Which
one? You're Sheamus, right? That's you?
No.
Yeah.
He looks like Sheamus mixed with one of the Rockers.
Or Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
I don't know what word that is.
I gave him the finger!
Are those all redheads?
No, he was a little guy. He was
Chop Segura. So that's a nominee for worst take. Next one, Rob Manfred and what he is doing to the memory of Pete Rose. He was on CBS and he's talking about taking Pete Rose off the ban list now that Pete's gone.
Look, I would say three things. Number one, our permanently ineligible list is effectively a ban on working in the game. Just as a matter of logic, there's no reason to have a person who has passed away still on that list. Number two, Pete Rose is a part of the history of our game. Every other player, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, has been considered by the Hall of Fame, and they've made a decision. I saw no reason to leave Pete Rose out there as one of one, no consideration. And then last, I think what people don't realize is Pete Rose wasn't disciplined by Commissioner Giamatti. He entered into a settlement agreement with the league. At the time they entered into that settlement, he went on the permanently ineligible list knowing that the rules allowed the Hall of Fame to consider him. Commissioner Giamatti went out, had a press conference the day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Day of the settlement, and he was asked about the Hall of Fame, and he said this settlement should have nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame should consider Pete Rose under its existing rules. So I see the decision as baseball living up to the deal that they originally made with Pete Rose.
Talk about
lawyer
speak.
He's such a lawyer,
man. I can't keep track of what he's saying.
Well, we made a deal, so this is the deal, and we're living up to our end of the deal. Look, you could say all you want that it was about working in the game.
Yeah.
And yes, I understand it was about working in the game. But what about the times when you dragged Pete out for your own self-interest? When you brought him out for the Philadelphia Phillies parade or whatever it was, when the anniversary of winning the World Series.
So was that Bud Selig? Or no, Rob?
No, it was recent. It was in the last couple of years. Or when you, during Bud, 02, and MasterCard.
All-star game.
Had an all-star game thing, memorable moments. You had no problem using Pete there. All right, but you couldn't let him get reinstated. But you made him buy a ticket to go watch his son play when his son made his major league debut. So they would use Pete conveniently when they needed him. And I think
the timing of taking all these people off the ban list could not be worse for them,
worse.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Worse.
Wait 5 years. Wait, Jinx, buy me a Coke. Wait 10 years. But you appear so dead inside. You're cold-blooded.
Yeah.
The way you're doing it now. So I'm putting Rob Manfred up there along with Tom Segura. And anything else, Bob?
No, that wraps it up. So we can vote on this if you like. And to me, it's easy. That's Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred, like, just in general, the whole approach was awful. And sitting there trying to, like, talk in circles for a minute just fine, which is just, it's an awful thing you did.
877-881-1053. The Tolos usually decide the vote. And it's been pretty much, like, universal in the past couple of weeks. Do we have a clear winner? Gilbert Arenas saying OKC had zero chance to win the championship. The Eastern Conference final rival, Tom Segura crapping all over wrestling fans, or WWE allowing him to promote, or Rob Manfred and Pete. What's it looking like, Peyton?
We got a couple of votes here. Tom Segura, and that's my vote here. You know, he just kind of leaned into the bit a little with hating wrestling, wrestling scripted. We have Rob Manfred as stupid there. So a couple votes there from the Fantex.
I'll vote Rob. I like Rob. I think Rob has gotten more heat than he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
He's missing. And the worst problem is he doesn't get it.
Timing.
He doesn't get it.
Yeah, doesn't get it.
He thinks he's doing the Lord's work here with this. Oh, yeah, I let him in. What do you have for me?
Yeah.
Honor the contract.
Yes. Just dead inside.
Rob Manfred is winning the vote now, as we've gone a little bit. So, there Rob Manfred.
You are the worst of the week. Back to the Stars. As we talk about it with Kevin Hagelin, he thought Edmonton was better. He was right. Better. With the KNC Masterpiece Crosstalk next.
Petrovic flips the puck toward his own bench and goes over to console Casey DeSmith. The Edmonton Oilers pour onto the ice. They are the Western Conference champions for the second year in a row. It's Edmonton and Florida in the Stanley Cup Final.
What? I have a hockey question for you. Was that picture of the Oilers celebrating with that lady flashing her boobs in the background, is that real?
Did she flash them? I didn't see this at the end.
Sorry, what?
Let's see.
About Natalie?
I don't think it was real.
No, not the lady who sits next to the coach, but like there is a picture circulating with some lady while they're all celebrating that they won, and she's like, here's my boobs.
The Oiler fan from last year. I remember her.
Did you watch the post game?
No.
Okay. I didn't keep it on much either.
I do love the handshake line, but I think I'm too poor of a sport to watch it when my team is lost.
Yeah. I love it when other teams lose. Yes. I love it when other teams that I'm not rooting for are doing it.
Yeah. I'm not seeing updated flashing. Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking.
What do I need to search?
I'm seeing this kid's ribs, and the internet is saying this is not as good as last year.
Oh.
See this kid pulling up his shirt?
Definitely not as good as last year.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that was the picture.
Yeah.
Because I saw people like, when you see it, was that and I one? Just kept moving on.
Oh, no, that's blurred. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the hot topics.
Wouldn't pulled him.
Would not have pulled him.
Correct.
Why?
I mean, look. I understand people who are on the other side. I think you look at those two goals, and I'm like, all right, so the coaching decision that you made to put Maverick Bork in for the first time, and he got a penalty like 15 seconds into a shift that led to a power play that's devastated you the entire series, that's Andrew's fault. Okay, right. And then Lindell completely misunderstanding defensive rotation on the second goal and giving that up.
Let me ask a couple follow-ups.
Sure.
Do you think that the switch worked in terms of a spark? You do not. Okay.
No, I mean, look, they almost immediately gave up another goal.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't.
The softest one of the game.
Yeah.
Number two, how much do you think it was really about Otter's play versus trying to get the rest of the team juiced?
Agreed. And that's why I thought half of DeBoer's answer in the postgame made a lot of sense. He's like, look, we're trying to spark the team. We talked about. And you could hear his frustration in terms of, like, we've talked about getting the lead ad nauseum or whatever he said, and we're immediately down 2-0. I get all of that. It was the back half of the answer where he's like, Ottinger's lost to Edmonton 6-7 times. You're like, oh.
Is the DeBoer's post worse than the in-game move?
I think it is.
So you're saying let the media point that part out.
Yes.
Let the media be the, because if you're going to try to keep the team, you don't go and start shooting your players.
No,
you,
but see, you, because I thought his answer, I thought the first half of his answer made a lot of sense. And if he would have just stopped talking, I think I would have been like, well, that makes sense because you're not going to replace your entire lineup because then you're limited by depth and everything like that.
Now, I got a question for you. Clayton Kershaw sucks after the sixth inning, right? Seventh inning, once he gets into the seventh inning, Dave Robertson knows this information, yet still puts him out there. How stupid is that?
Dave Roberts?
Roberts, yeah.
Okay. If that were factually accurate, I would agree. I do not believe that is factually accurate.
That Kershaw sucks after the sixth inning?
No, he sucks at any game.
He sucks after the first inning.
But he said he's lost six of the last seven to them.
Yes.
And that is a team thing.
Mostly because of him.
Consistently happening, though, the status quo is not working. Try something different.
But in your scenario, instead of replacing Kershaw, you are replacing five people in your lineup, even though you lose games 10-8.
Okay.
Like, they went 2-7, or now 2-8, I guess, in games where they gave up three or more goals. So it doesn't necessarily seem like it's the goalie that's causing all of these problems.
The defense is the goalie. Right? If they're allowing three or more goals and they've lost 8 of 10, that's part of it.
But yeah, but I mean, like, if you're giving 70% shot looks to Edmonton because you're not playing good defense. I mean,
no, that's fair. And the reality is, most of the last half of the season for the Stars, their defense was leaky. We talked about it.
It was just the trade.
And that was, you're right, that was the trade-off,
too. And that falls some on Jim Nill for not making the move that we all said needed to happen. Really needed to happen.
That is true. That is definitely
something. What chance do you give this? By the way, how did you feel about it in the moment, Corey?
I thought it was the right thing to do. Absolutely. I mean, that thing went out there. I've seen Mike Bassett more interested in Cowboys segments than I saw those guys interested in being in that game. Those guys looked like they did not want to be even on the ice.
They were getting breakfast across the street.
Yeah, they had.
I don't know what that means.
I don't even know what you're talking
about. When Mickey's on, Mike would get up and go get breakfast, and we'd see him walking back across the street. And maybe during other segments, I don't know. Sometimes, but I know during Mickey.
But like they
it was Mickey Donald's.
They didn't look interested at all in being out there. They looked as dead as they were. Yeah. A couple of games we've seen the same thing. They look dead, and so in order to do something, I can't take the whole team out. And so you know what, guys, if you want to go out there and embarrass yourself for the next three quarters, then you're going to do it with a backup goalie. You're either going to do that, or you're going to work your asses off to try and get a win for this game.
But yeah, they didn't pull him Otter because of Otter necessarily. I mean, they did, a lot of it was.
It was mostly because the team was stinking. Yeah.
And
was,
I think this is the only sport where someone like that has to pay the public price to get everyone else going, okay. Right? Quarterback, it's kind of like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Pitcher, how are you doing? Individual sports are obviously individual sports. It's like, all right, the goaltender had to be a sacrificial. And maybe what I'm asking in my mind is, am I putting too much in that it wasn't really because of DeBoer's post-game comments? Yeah. He made it seem like it was more about...
He should have let the media point that fact out.
The performance. But goaltenders have been pulled many a time and returned. With that being said, how do you view this as an off-season fire that escalates, is put out quickly?
Like, if they came back and won this game, Otter's starting game six.
Yep.
I mean, it's not even an argument.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's not even. I don't even think he would give it a second thought.
Yeah.
He's just going right back to him. This was.
Is this something? Hey, it's hockey. It happens. They'll get over it quickly. This won't be a thing.
This was the first time it had ever happened with DeBoer, maybe. But, like, doesn't he kind of have a past issue with goalie, I don't know, like controversy is the right word you want to use.
Yeah, he's got a lot of them.
And so
he's like Rick Carlisle with a point guard.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
So I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. I really don't know.
But I guess we could say this about all managers or coaches. They all have a thing.
Sure.
They all do something. Like some don't handle the bullpen well. Some don't handle goalies well. Some... like our quarterbacks.
So do you want a coach then who's like doesn't get along well with the quarterback or doesn't get along well with the starting pitchers or I would think that would be the last coach you would want is the one who can't get along with the most important position.
I'm not saying, look, I mean, you're not wrong, but like there are plenty of great managers of all time who don't know how to handle a bullpen. There are plenty of, like Bruce Bochy's thing is he can't win in the year after he wins. Like, that's his thing.
The I'll Sharks.
Take that. Let's get that.
Right. That's a good one.
I'll take that one.
The Sharks and Golden Knights, like, Reddit forums this morning. That's all they're talking about right now. I was like, couldn't have happened to a better person. Great to see it happen to Pete. Pete was always a jerk here to goalies. Pete was always awful to players.
Look,
I've never heard that as a common refrain.
Here in Dallas, I haven't heard that yet.
I go back to the same thing. We've seen this happen in the NFL plenty of times. Maybe Pete DeBoer is a really good coach who can only get you so far.
Happens.
I think it was Lisa Simakopoulos who pointed out last night.
God bless you.
That the Stars are the first team ever to make it to the Western Conference Finals three straight times and not win a cup.
Is it a stupid question and topic to ask if Pete DeBoer could be in trouble?
No. I mean, what happened to him in those last two jobs when they were making the conference finals? He got fired there.
And if... quite honestly, I don't think that the Pete DeBoer Otter moment was in this moment, I'm making this decision. I think leading up, he was thinking, should I even start him? And so
but DeBoer was asking?
I think he was looking at that number going, dude, should we just say no this one and then bring him back for the other teams because he's better? So to say that, I also think that Jim Nill's been sitting on this for a while going, how much longer do I give this guy of us getting here with this roster? And again, the Stars need things. They still do need, who was it that called in this morning? He was eating a steak and egg sandwich.
Yeah.
And he was like faster. Yeah. Faster and bigger and faster. We need bigger and faster players. That's, I mean, everybody needs that. But Jim Neal's got to be looking at it going, and this year going into it, he was going, all right, we're 2 years in a row. If we stall out another year, do I keep the guy and go find somebody else?
Let's say you don't keep him. How many coaches does that person get to pick?
Does that person get to pick?
Jim Neal's gone through four now.
How many coaches does the GM get to pick? Now, assuming, of course, that you don't own the team and you'll never fire yourself as GM. Assuming you don't have that protection.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you make...
Are you anti-Nil?
No, I'm not anti-Nil.
He's about to win GM of the Year three times in a row.
Really?
With no
That's
cup.
Great. Do you want that or do you want a Stanley Cup?
Oh,
I don't think... Look, he's got... Point. He has... Here, look, I do think that there's a toughness issue with this team, and that is... He is more obsessed with skill, maybe. So
just my basic question, and it doesn't have to only be about Nil, but my question is, if you're the GM, how many head coaches do you get to pick before you're like,
I think you keep getting to pick them if they make the conference finals and then just wait for your breakthrough.
Okay.
That's so, me.
I would have to go look at Florida and how they've run their operation, because they moved on from their coach and they bring, who they got, Maurice?
Paul Maurice.
So they brought him in. But, I mean, they made a change and when they got Tkachuk, like, they got tougher.
Did you make it the entire show yesterday without being sarcastic?
I'm going to let Kevin answer that question because I feel like I did.
I think he did.
All right.
I can answer the question. No. I heard it in the first segment like five times.
I got a mulligan.
Or it's just the way you were delivering it. But it was really hard not to hear your delivery and think that there was not tongue-in-cheek and like five different things you were saying. While
that,
you're
you know what? And that makes me feel like that's just me. You know?
Like that right there feels, yeah. That's what I'm talking. I got that.
That felt
I got that about five times in the first segment yesterday.
Anything to tease on the show that you need to?
We could have former WWE IC champion, Lucha Underground champion, and current AEW superstar Ricochet on during the C block today.
To chop Alec.
Yeah, to chop Alec.
That's what we're hoping. I did a Tom Segura segment for you.
Oh, yeah?
Did you hate that?
I didn't hear it.
Do you know what Tom Segura did?
No, what did he do?
His new show on Netflix?
Disappointing, Kevin.
Is it a good show? I heard it's weird.
It has nothing Avery to do with the show. Weird.
Oh.
Nothing to do with it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is this the Ted Cruz thing?
That's
it.
Back on Monday. Nailed it. No, Corey Majors, your best friend. The KNC Masterpiece is next. Everyone have a fantastic weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.